This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Our telephone number here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. We can get you on the air with our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial. If you've got a question, CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas are here to help you out. Again, our number here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. The website for Klaus Financial, it's a great website, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number at Klaus Financial, 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaus Financial. It is complimentary. Again, that number, 442-5637. CJ, Malia, how you guys doing this week?
Doing great. How are you, Sean?
Doing really well. CJ, Malia, how are you?
We're all smiles with the weather.
Yes, it's hard not to be in a good mood with this great weather. And mention the website. One, some modifications, some updates, some new stuff on the website. If you haven't been by recently, definitely check out klausfinancial.com. Also, while you're there, make sure you sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a great weekly snapshot of what's going on in the markets. Also, a link to the most recent podcast. Again, that's up at klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Got a great conversation ahead. We are going to be talking not just about RMDs, but we're also going to be talking about folks who have to take the RMD and are using it to donate and make the world a better place. We'll find out some of the things you want to consider when it comes to that in regards to taxes. Another great thing we do on the show is the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week, and this week is no exception. Got a fantastic opportunity to win a prize. The folks from Klaus Financial got a $25 gift card to Cabela's. Listen closely to the program. Typically, both the answer and question and answer come up during the program. And by the way, before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's take a look back and talk about last week's Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. Now, get the question, but get the answer there as well.
Yes. So again, everyone, we appreciate your listening and calling in every week to try to win the prize of the week. I don't know if anybody cares about Cabela's with the upcoming nice seasons ahead, but listen carefully today. But last week's question was really an important topic that we like to cover from time to time. And it was revolving around power of attorney documents and how important they are to have those in place for yourself. So the question of the week was, name one of the two main types of power of attorney documents you should consider having in place. So our caller correctly answered one of the two: power of attorney for financial, which is commonly called the property, or power of attorney for health, also called the medical power of attorney. So congratulations to our winner last week. Listen carefully for today's question.
And if you missed any of last week's program or any of the previous shows, you can always go to klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com and give a listen to the programs there. So as mentioned, we are going to be talking about the many ways that folks are able to help out. And one of the ways that it's a great opportunity for folks who have RMDs is the people that are in kind of that habit of donating to their favorite charities. There are some things that they should be considering when it comes to taxes, correct?
There are. So I am actually really excited for our show today. We're going to be talking about, again, more acronyms in our industries: RMDs, required minimum distributions, and QCDs, qualified charitable distributions. I will be kind of setting the stage here at the beginning section, talking about what are RMDs, how have they evolved over time, because there was a change to the RMD tables here recently. And then Malia will be talking a little bit more in detail about qualified charitable distributions for those who are over 70 and a half. As you can imagine, this is a great time of the year to be talking about tax benefits and philanthropy because we're right in the midst of tax season. And hopefully most of you are already done with them. I am not, by the way. I always have to wait till a little bit later because of the corporation, but I'm getting close to getting them done. But before we discuss the charitable part, let's again first set that stage with RMDs and understand what this is all about. So with the passing of the SECURE Act that went into effect January 1st of 2020, so January 1st of last year, there were some changes with regards to the required minimum distribution schedule. Remember that RMDs are designed to ensure that investments in your IRAs or pre-tax 401ks do not grow tax deferred forever. The IRS does want to begin at some point receiving the associated taxes that have been deferred on those accounts. for so many years. So with the SECURE Act, the IRS now requires that most owners of IRAs withdraw part of their tax-deferred savings in the form of an RMD each year after they reach age 72. Yes, you did hear me correctly, 72. It used to be 70 and a half. Now, some of you are going, whoa, I'm already drawing, or what about this? So just remember, if you were not 70 and a half by the end of 2019, then your new RMD age is 72. Let me repeat that. If you were not 70 and a half by the end of 2019, then your new RMD age, required minimum distribution age, is 72. And every year after you're 72, you must pull a required minimum distribution out of your pre-tax retirement accounts or Roth 401k, which you shouldn't do, roll it over into a Roth IRA, and then you won't have it. But that's a whole different rabbit trail. So specifically, your first RMD, so think of it, okay, I turned 72, and let's just use an example. I turned 72 in April of 2022, hypothetically. Your first RMD must be taken by April 1st of the following year you turn age 72. So that would be by April 1st of 2023 in my example. However, every subsequent RMD after the year in which you first turned 72, every subsequent must be completed by December 31st of each year. Therefore, if you don't pull your first minimum distribution in the year in which you turn 72, you wait until April of the following year, it actually means you'll have two minimum distributions in one taxable calendar year. Now, for some of you, your heads are spinning going, I don't get this. That's okay. You don't need to understand it all. Just know that you're going to want to talk to your accountant or your financial advisor to kind of work out what's best for you.
Really good stuff. Talking this morning with CJ Kloss. Sorry about that, CJ. Talking with CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals. If you want to talk with CJ and Malia, get your question right on the air right now at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Their office telephone number, 442-5637. Sorry, CJ, didn't mean to interrupt. Continue, my friend.
It's all good. See, Sean is smarter than me. He knows people don't want to listen to me ramble on and on and on. So he puts a little break in there. Thank you, Sean. So if you withdraw less than your required minimum distribution, you may owe a 50% penalty tax on the difference. Said another way, don't do that. Do not miss pulling out your required minimum distribution. You will regret it. But remember, your required minimum distribution is the minimum amount you must withdraw from your account each year. So hear that terminology. Required, not optional. Minimum, not maximum. Distribution, meaning it's got to come out. So it's, you can always draw more than that required minimum whenever you want to. Your withdrawals will be included in your taxable income, except for any part that was taxed beforehand. So think occasionally you'll have what's called basis inside of a pre-tax retirement account. If you pull out basis, that wouldn't be taxable. By the way, that's very uncommon. But if you have basis, you'd probably know it. And then secondarily, distributions out of a Roth IRA, again, do not have taxes associated with them because they are a tax-free investment growth vehicle. And furthermore, Roth IRAs that were funded by the grantor, meaning they're not inherited Roth IRAs, don't have a minimum distribution at all. So food for thought, by the way. More and more people who are listening to this show should probably be looking at Roth conversions. But that's just a little freebie. You can talk to your advisor about that. The calculation of the required distribution for any year is the account balance as of the end of the immediate preceding calendar year. So December 31st of the year prior to the year in which you're doing that calculation. And then there's just a uniform lifetime table that gives you your life expectancy and applies a divisor. Now, this all sounds really complex, but truth be told, I could sit down with literally anybody on here, even if you're a 13-year-old listener, and show you the calculation. It might take 5 or 8 minutes for you to get it. And then you go, oh, I get it. I just take this value and apply this divisor and it gives me a number. So it's not that complicated once you understand it. If you don't understand it, I really do encourage you to try to start to understand it. So the IRS issued final regulation on November 6th of 2020 containing new life expectancy tables to be used for determining required minimum distributions. Now, this won't go into effect until January of 2022, but this is a long-needed change. So here's what's been going on. People have been living longer, but the uniform lifetime table hasn't been updated for years. So finally, as of November 6, 2020, they issued regulation that says as of January 1st, 2022, we will have a new basically divisor or tables to apply. So be on the lookout for that as you move forward. And finally, if you just want to kind of go to a easy website to try to help usher this process along and figure out your calculation, you can go to investor.gov, which is a website hosted by the SEC, and you can calculate what your RMD may look like as you move forward.
Fantastic guidance and really good information there. Don't forget, if you missed any part of today's show or missed any of the previous shows, you can always head on over to Kloss Financial's website, klossfinancial.com. You can listen there. You can also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. The telephone number at Kloss Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Don't forget, there is no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Again, their telephone number, 442-5637. If you've got a question, we would love to get you on the air this morning at 321-1310. That's 321-1310. We will talk about the connection between RMDs and charitable givings. We'll hear from Aaliyah. We'll do that next and take your call as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Don't forget, if you've got a question, love to get you on the air this morning. Telephone number here at the station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Don't forget Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. Talking this morning about RMDs, and we mentioned in the previous segment, there's a connection between there can be a connection between RMDs and charitable giving. What is that connection? What is that potential opportunity there?
Yeah, so, you know, I appreciate CJ setting the stage for this really, really important topic. And I know we both, CJ and I, just like to jump into the topic and then we go, oh, we probably need to set the stage so you understand what we're talking about. So hence all the discussion on RMDs today. There's a nice connection with the idea that you could actually utilize your RMDs if you are charitably minded already. And a lot of people are not aware of this opportunity. So we know that in the last couple of years, there's been a higher standard deduction for tax purposes that's come into play for when we file our income taxes. And so that's left many people unable to itemize because the standard deduction's more than their itemization would be worth. So if you look at utilizing a strategy with your required minimum distributions using what we call a QCD rule, that can perhaps lower your tax liability. So just a disclosure for all that we've said this morning, we're not accountants here at Kloss, although we interact with accountants almost on a daily basis. So you would want to check with your accountant to find out if a strategy like we're going to discuss might work for your own situation. So a little background on QCDs. They were actually made permanent back in 2015, and that was with the PATH Act, also referred to as the Protecting Americans from Tax Hikes. And that's when they became permanent. But again, some things like this just take a long time to become part of, a commonplace discussion. And if you're in this situation where, I want to give to charity, and I also do like being able to take, a deduction of some sort for that, that's when we want you to perk up your ears for this situation. So a QCD is a qualified charitable distribution rule. And what it does is it gives you the opportunity to transfer up to $100,000 per taxpayer per year. And the way this is done is it's done directly from your IRA, custodian, to a qualified charity. So again, it has to come directly from your IRA, the custodian, directly to the qualified charity. So some key things to really write down this morning is this is only available for your IRA accounts, and it's only available for individuals who have reached the age of 70 and a half. And this is where things get confusing, because CJ just mentioned how the RMD age has been moved out to age 72. This age was not adjusted with the SECURE Act for when you could actually start taking qualified money in your IRA and move it towards a qualified charity. That age of 70 and a half has remained there. So in other words, even before you are required to begin those RMD withdrawals that we said at 72, you can actually interact with QCDs to reduce your taxable income if you're charitably minded. So unlike conventional RMDs, QCDs are not subject to ordinary federal income tax. So any amount that's processed as a QCD counts towards your RMD requirement and reduces the taxable amount of your IRA distribution. So why would I start that before age 72? Well, if you have a lot of pre-tax income sitting in deferred accounts, this may be a way to be able to start reducing that out for the future, even though you don't have to till age 72. So honestly, when we look at this, we look at, you know, how much are you required to take out, as CJ said, December 31st, looking at those balances, again, looking at the uniform life table, if you are of RMD age, and then figuring out what are the organizations I normally give to anyways. And so you can usually do this directly with your financial advisor, set this up, and you could say, I want $10,000 of my RMDs to go directly to this charity, whatever it might be. It might be a few hundred dollars. But the point is that you are getting the reduction of the tax liability, and they are not paying taxes on the other end of things. So now you also don't get to take an extra deduction, okay? You just don't have to pay taxes on the amount you have given. So I know everyone likes to do everything double. Yes. I just have to point that out. So keep that in mind as you are looking at how can I still be charitable, but maybe I still would like a tax deduction, a reduction of my tax liability. And then finally, remember, your children are not a charity. In fact, I get this question quite a bit. Client said, well, so, but if I give money to my children, I can write that off or I get some kind of deduction. And unfortunately, that is not the case. They seem like they're a charity to all of us, but they're not.
they sure do. CJ Klossfeld, Cuevas, our retirement planning professionals from Claus Financial. If you've got a question, still got time to get you on the air, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Telephone number at Claus Financial, 442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment, that initial get-to-know-you conversation with the folks at Claus Financial. It is complimentary to you. The number, 442-5637, and the website, clausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. The term donor advised funds. What are they? How can they apply? We'll find out from CJ and Malia. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Claus Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Claus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Cell phone number here at the radio station, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Don't forget, you can learn more about Claus Financial online, the website, clausfinancial.com, and their telephone number, 442-5637. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Claus Financial. It is complimentary. And Greg joins us this morning. Greg, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Claus and Malia Cuevas of Claus Financial.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your question?
Well, my mom is 88 years old, and she's required to take her RMD every year. And we have been taking it out, but putting it into her regular or her taxable account. Would it be better to put that money from the RMD into a Roth IRA?
Oh, such a good question. I love it because this is coming from you as a consumer, and I don't have to just say it and teach people. So what a great question. And the answer is no, you can't do that. The IRS says you can't take minimum distributions and use them as part of a conversion strategy to a Roth. So unfortunately, the answer is she can't do that. Now, Greg, she could convert above and beyond that. So she pulls out her RMD and then she decides to convert above that. But often that becomes challenging, right? Because now you're adding even more taxable income. But such a good question. I hope other people are listening right now. You cannot convert your required minimum distributions into a Roth IRA. Thanks, Greg.
Fantastic question, Greg. And before we get to the Kloss Quiz question of the week, Diner. You know what's on my mind, guys. Donor-advised funds. Let's talk about what those are and how they could potentially save on taxes by using one of them.
Yeah, our third and final acronym here. So we had RMDs, required minimum distributions, QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, and donor advised funds, DAFs. So here we go. So they were first established in the 1930s and more recently have become really popular. And it's effectively, I have a bunch of writing on this that I could go through with you, but I'll try to make it simple. So DAFs give you the ability to put money into a charitable account that when you put the money into the account is when you get the deduction. Okay. It's when it's considered a charitable contribution. However, that DAF is almost more of just a charitable pass through. So literally, like Fidelity has one of the largest DAFs in the world. Schwab has another really big one, but you just make a donation to your own DAF that you establish through using Fidelity or Schwab's donor advised fund accounts. It then you get the deduction when you put the money in, but then you can invest it. It can grow tax-free, and you can then use that as your seed money for any public charity donation. So think of it as I've got $100,000 in a DAF. I'm investing it. It grows to $200,000, and then you know I need to make a donation to the Girl Scouts of America or to my church, and I pay it out of that DAF, and it just goes from one public charity to another public charity. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, because with the standard deduction having been doubled, and it's a really high deduction amount now to get over, it's an issue. A lot of people's charitable contributions do not benefit them on their taxes anymore. Let me repeat that. A lot of people's charitable contributions do not benefit them on their taxes anymore. As a matter of fact, the majority of people who give to charities, it does nothing for their taxes. So there's two ways to try to turn the tide on that and get it to benefit you. One is what Malia already mentioned, which is if you're over 70 and a half, you should be doing your charitable giving out of your IRA. Bar none, you should be doing that. But then secondarily, what you should be looking at doing if you're not 70 and a half is saying, can I do what's called a tax bunching strategy into a donor advised fund? So stick with me. If I give a $2,000 a month to my church, and I know this is a lot, but just stick with me. That's $24,000 a year. Well, the standard deduction is larger than that. So literally that $24,000 that I just gave to my church does not benefit me on my taxes at all. If instead I give 3 years worth of contributions to the church, but I do it into a donor advised fund, so 24 times three, we're up at almost $75,000 now, I can then claim the full $75,000 of deduction now, which gets me well above the standard deduction, and then still give them the $2,000 a month out of my DAF. So I'm not giving it all to them right away. But this is known as tax bunching, and it can be a great strategy for people who are looking to benefit from their donations but don't have the ability to do the QCDs. And final concept here, and I know we're running out of time, Sean. Final quick comment would be, think about this if you have a highly appreciated stock. If you have a highly appreciated stock in your in a non-qualified account, you can donate it to that donor advised fund, hypothetically, get the full write-off of the value. You don't pay taxes upon the sale because once it's in the DAF, then you can sell it and won't pay taxes. And it's like the benefit upon benefit upon benefit. You really get huge benefits here. So I know we're getting complex and running out of time, but there's the final tip.
It's really good information, and it's a win-win. A lot of great opportunities out there for you. Talking, of course, this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Malia Cuevas. Don't forget you can learn more about them and everyone at Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Great website. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. You're also going to hold on to that number now because it's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Cabela's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. How old must you be to utilize the Qualified Charitable Distribution, the QCD rule? Is it 65 or 70 and a half? Telephone number 442-5637. First call, the correct answer will win that $25 gift card to Cabela's. And again, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. No charge for the initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. CJ, Malia, always fantastic hanging out with you guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
Dr. Hemkiss comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor registered with the SEC. The content of this show is for informational purposes only and should not be considered individual investment advice. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial. Money, money, money.